What's this podcast about? Even I don't know. Tune in while I figure it out.
Today is a landmark day on Josh Figures It Out. It's just Josh and a microphone as it tells you what it's all about. Even if he hasn't figured it out yet, it's Josh Figures It Out.
Oh, I like that little purry thing my voice just did at the end there. That was unintentional. It's probably just because, like, I'm tired and my voice is doing that. But yeah, I'm going to slip into a little vocal purr. How'd you guys like that? My voice at this level, it's like a down comforter. It's something you can just settle into. Just wrap over your ears. I don't have to go too high energy today. I really don't. Today is a victory lap, so just curl up in my victorious voice and enjoy. I'm so victorious, I could be on the Disney Channel. I'm also going to give you guys a big time rush with what I'm going to tell y'all today. So enjoy the sweet life, but not with Zach and Cody, with me, Josh. Do we have any other Disney Channel references I can pull? Man, they just keep coming up with those shows, don't they? There's always a new generation of perfectly groomed Disney children. Completely flawless, completely media savvy. All you have to do is be born a perfect person straight out of the womb and never say the wrong thing or make a single mistake. And you too could be handed your very own Disney Channel show at like the age of 12. Oh, I forgot. You also have to have insane parents who want to wring every last dollar you're worth out of you and still be perfect enough that you can survive that and grow up to be, if not a healthy person, then at least a person who can keep it together in the face of constant flashbulbs and red carpet bullshit. That's just an unheard of level of self-possession that most mortals do not have. When you watch those Disney Channel shows, don't think about the terrible production values or the overly obvious writing or the fact that the energy level is kept on a constant over-caffeinated level such that I can't watch more than 5 minutes without feeling like I need to lie down. Think about how you're basically watching perfect people. The best that humanity genetically has to offer. Standing on shitty sets. Trying way too hard to read their lines. I don't even have a cable connection. I no longer have younger brothers or sisters who actually watch these shows. I know a lot of these names largely because of the Sunset Gower Studios near my house where they shoot a lot of these shows, and I pass by the billboards and I'm like, wow. I mean, really very little has changed since the days of Pay Dude and Salute Your Shorts. At least in terms of the quality of the acting and the basic quality of the production. I do miss a little bit of that Nickelodeon style. There was that very distinctive 90s Nickelodeon style of that was very, very MTV and music video influenced and just that obvious trying a little bit too hard to be cool. That definitely inspires a little bit of nostalgia in me. I mean, it's obvious to have an update like iCarly that I just assume that all kids now use the internet constantly. Because I attempted to use the internet constantly, and that was when it was like dial-up in 56K. If I had access to an iPhone as a kid, I would never stop using it. And back then, it used to be just for the nerds. Now, I mean, because social life is on the internet now. So even the cool kids are constantly just checking their phones and their Facebooks and their Twitters, etc. So, of course, the internet and technology is making their way into these shows. What's weird to me is how meta and self-reflexive a lot of them seem. Because iCarly is about a kid who puts on, like, a show, like a webcam show. It's the star of her own webcam show. Hannah Montana, she was, you know, a very thinly disguised Miley Cyrus, basically just a budding music star-to-be. The aforementioned Big Time Rush, that's about, like, a band, right? About, like, a Jonas Brothers-type band. Victorious is also, that's also like about a singer, right? It's also about a singer. Something like an aspiring singer. Now I'm Wikipediaing Nickelodeon live action comedy shows. Something called Awesomeness TV. basically looks exactly like all that. Which I guess it's been a while since all that. It's time to bring that back. And then it's, The Haunted Hathaways is a family of ghosts with ghost powers. The Thundermans is a family with superpowers. Every Which Way is a family of witches. And then wasn't there that show, The Wizard of Waverly Place, that was a family of wizards? The point is there's two main types of sitcoms for kids. There's the one where the kid is a celebrity, and there's the one where the kid has superpowers. Either way, these shows are eventually revolving around the same thing, which is that the kid or kids at the center of the show are incredibly important and special and powerful, whether their power is getting everybody in the world to pay attention to them or literal actual superpowers. Way to really play into teenage psychology, right? As a teenager, you're imagining that you're the center of the world anyways. So you might as well watch shows about people who are, like, the literal center of their worlds, where they actually are, like, the most important person in that universe. I think that's only most obvious with those kind of kid shows, though. I think that's basically, like, all mainstream adult entertainment, if you really think about it. Like, come on, superhero movies, all superhero movies are about, yeah, somebody who's, you know, one of the big-time movers and shakers because they've got magic powers and they can save the world from the apocalypse that seems to happen in every superhero movie, as talked about last week. That's just the most obvious example. What about, like, Taken? It's not a literal superhero movie, but it's about, you know, a father, an older man, a man who's looking after his daughter, but also a man who has a very particular set of skills. And when his daughter is put into unimaginable danger, which is a situation I think any dad could relate to, then you get to see Liam Neeson break into unkillable super dad mode, where he's just mowing down line after line of hardened gangsters who are much quicker and younger than him to get his way and save the people close to him. Because in that universe, Liam Neeson is the toughest and most amazing man in the world. And that's all it is. All these movies, all these shows. Breaking Bad, possibly the greatest TV show of all time, is a show about a normal man who discovers a power within himself that allows him to become the most respected criminal in seemingly the country and make millions and millions of dollars just through pure imagination and a complete lack of morals, which is what makes that show a complex and interesting show, thinking like, you know, would you unleash this power within yourself if it meant losing your soul? But it's still just a wish fulfillment fantasy scenario of what if I had the power to make any change I could imagine in my life happen, not just to make all that money, but to eventually talk down my wife into becoming my wife, even after she desperately wants to divorce me, basically just forcing the life I want to come together. I think that is what entertainment and the pull of entertainment comes down to at its core, is it's not simply escapism. It's not just wanting to be in a different world than you're in. I think especially in the modern world of 7 billion people and counting, where every action you take and everything about your life increasingly seems like a drop in this giant sea of humanity, and that the forces allied against you and against you achieving exactly what you want are far stronger than whatever force you have. I think it's an incredible and compelling thing to be able to even briefly step into the shoes of people who can achieve anything they want. Even while the most compelling and the most artistic examples of this kind of wish fulfillment also show the flip side, you know, the like Breaking Bad, the compromises that you have to make, the moral compromises, or sometimes just being stuck in a situation where you can't win and realizing compromise is always necessary, being forced to grapple with the consequences of your ambition. But it's very rare that you'll want to watch a movie or a film or read a book about a passive person who simply takes whatever life throws at them. Because not only does nobody want to be that person, I think nobody's really interested in hearing those stories. There are very specific types of stories that reach out to us as humans and individuals, and sometimes they're era specific. And I think maybe that is really the story of our era, is the story of being able to fight through the system and fight against the changes, the constantly changing society around us, the constantly speeding up waves of progress and technology that seem to steamroll every living person. Finding a way to beat against that tide, boats against the current, and make even an iota of difference. I think that was one thing that was so powerful about True Detective, is that they were eventually only able to capture that one guy. They couldn't take down the whole conspiracy. Two guys working on a case for 20 years to bring down one madman and make the world just a tiny bit better. But still, it was something they could do, right? This is stuff I've been thinking about a lot lately. I've been thinking about just the power of storytelling. You know, it's something I think about sometimes when I think about, like, what is the pull of the entertainment industry, and why do I want to stay? You know, getting started in entertainment is something I initially just fell into. Okay, that's not entirely true, because I initially wanted to get into video game design, and then I was thinking about music production. Radio was something I fell into, but I think I always knew it instinctively on some level. Ever since I decided to quit my computer science major in ninth grade and focus on college radio instead and writing plays, I think I always knew I was drawn to storytelling and entertainment and art in some form. That was just a part of my personality. And I think if it was just about going for the most lucrative job I thought I could do well, then it's not the decision I would have made. I was a pretty good programmer, and it's true that maybe I wouldn't have been able to make it in game design specifically, which is one of the most competitive programming fields, but I bet I could have, if I really wanted to hunker down, I could have made it through that computer science major and probably ended up with a halfway decent Silicon Valley job right now, because I've got a pretty good brain for math and for that kind of just basic logic. Programming is, you know, reading those kind of languages has always made sense to me. And yet that's not really exactly what I wanted to be doing with my life. Maybe it's because, you know, reading these stories from, you know, from when I was a kid, I was always a reader and I loved reading books and novels. And certain movies and certain characters just touched me so much and shaped so much of who I am today. And I know I'm not the only one. I think more than ever nowadays, media and the stories we see around us shape culture and shape so much of who we are and what humanity is doing. You know, automation, jobs are becoming automated all over the place. Entire industries are disappearing. And I would not be surprised if every industry could eventually be done by a computer program of some kind. But I do think, Even if it is eventually every industry, I do think the last holdout is going to be the arts. Because there's something about, at least as a human being, not just wanting, but needing to hear similar stories of other human beings and being able to relate to their situation. There's something very deep and I think spiritual we get out of that. A friend of mine reminded me lately about a story from the Talmud that I will share with you now. In Keder Shem Tov 272, it's a story told by Rabbi Baroka, who was in a market once with Elijah the prophet. And the rabbi was talking to Elijah in the marketplace as they looked around at the crowd coming and going and buying and selling, and he asked Elijah, "Is there anyone here who belongs in the world to come?" And Elijah pointed to two brothers he saw in the crowd, and Rabbi Baroka ran after them and asked them what their business was. And they replied, "We are jesters. We make sad people laugh. And when we see two people in a quarrel, we use humor to make peace between them." When Rabbi Baroka told this story to the Baal Shem Tov, he was perplexed and he needed an explanation. And Rabbi Baroka related what Elijah the prophet told him, which is this: that these jesters, these two jesters, were able to connect every matter they saw in a person to its origin in the higher world. And by doing this, any harsh heavenly decrees upon this person were automatically annulled. But if someone was depressed, they could not make this connection. They could not understand the way that their actions related to the higher world. So the jesters would cheer him up with humorous words and helping those people make the connections necessary. So that's some deep shit for some centuries-old biblical commentary. From like an era pre-psychology or pre-understanding, you know, anything about depression before using a word like depression. But having been inside depression, I can tell you that there's a huge degree of truth to that, that depression is very much about having blinders on and not being able to understand your place in the world. When you're in a depressive state, you can feel like not only are things really bad, but suddenly thinking things have always been this bad and things are never going to get better. And how could I have not seen before that life is just nothing but joylessness and gray and unable to give a dose of true satisfaction? And that's because that's how you're experiencing the world in that moment, but that doesn't mean that's how the world is. It means that you're trapped within your own perception, just like all of us can sometimes just feel so trapped within our own heads. So when Elijah says that what jesters do is connecting what's going on in a person's head to what's going on in the higher world, I like that phrase, the higher world, because it doesn't necessarily mean heaven or God's world. It just means, I think, the universe as it really is, the objective universe. So what Elijah is saying, that what jesters do and what comedians do now is connect the problems within us and the problems we see in our own lives. Because we're all obsessed with our own lives and our own story and where our story is going. But it's easy to get lost in that story and think that our own experiences are simply the way things are. And comedians can, by virtue of empathy, and I think so much comedy is really built on empathy, they can kind of understand other people and see the problems in people's thinking and the way everybody has some kind of blinders. And by calling those blinders out in a humorous fashion, they make people realize that something about their perspective isn't true in a way that makes them feel good and maybe gets them a little bit closer to a clear picture of what the universe is really like. I think that's the power of comedy. Even the power of just the simplest observational comedy to comment on some little detail about the world that you may have noticed and been frustrated by, but never thought was a universal thing. Maybe just thought it was something that another little frustration that you have to deal with in your life. When a comedian calls that out and says, yeah, this is just some dumb thing about the world that we all have to deal with, and you can universalize that and realize this is just part of the experience of being alive on Earth. It makes you feel less in your own head, it makes you feel less alone, and it makes you feel closer to the truth of the way the world is. And in essence, bringing all of humanity a little bit closer to that place of pure understanding. And that's why I feel like entertainment isn't frivolous, and being a comedian isn't frivolous. Yeah, there's all sorts of jobs that much more directly, help actual social problems and people in need. You know, obviously, firemen and police officers and social workers and teachers. But I think the comic and the storyteller has a role to play there as well. And I don't mean to say I feel like I have some sort of unique, accurate perspective on the world. Well, I don't want to say that I have an accurate perspective on the world, because I think in many ways I'm as blinded or more blinded than many people. And I 100% exist in my own bubble. But I do think I have a unique perspective on the world, and I think it's a perspective a lot of people can relate to. And even if you can't relate to it, maybe you can learn something about how other people who aren't like you relate to the world, and foster communication and understanding. I think the best case scenario of my career as a I don't even know if I'm a comedian exactly, although I'm learning more comedy skills all the time. But definitely as a writer or personality or storyteller or whatever the fuck I've managed to make a living on so far in the short career I've had, I feel personally fulfilled doing it, and I think it's good for, and I think it gives me a place in the world, and it does give me a purpose. And that's why I have resisted the temptation to just say, fuck it, go back to school, pick up a different major, start this whole thing from scratch. I don't know. I just I feel a calling, and I feel like that calling isn't over yet. So welcome to Josh Figures It Out. That was supposed to just be like a short little introduction before I got to the announcement I wanted to make on this podcast that ended up going on for God knows how long. I always say, I haven't even gotten to the point where I'm going to say, I bet this is going to be a short episode, because that's how I was planning to start this thing off. I was like, you know what? I don't have a ton to talk about today. I think this is just going to be a short episode. I just kind of, I want to make an announcement. I want to answer some Twitter questions, maybe talk about a news story or two, and then I'll leave you guys for a bit. Then I went off on this long, weird thing with Disney Channel shows and that got really personal and pretentious about my role and the importance of comedy. Jesus Christ. But you know what? This is why I occasionally like to do just the me in a microphone show, is it gives me the chance to just open my mouth and let words flow out and see where it goes. Anyway, now that I've alluded to this announcement, I should talk about it. So here's the deal, Josh Figures It Out fans. I have good news and bad news. What do you want first? You want the good news first or the bad news first? I don't know why I'm waiting for you to answer. I guess I'm going to have to come up with an answer myself. I guess you always want the bad news first because you want to end, you know, you want to get somewhere good after that. I always like ending on a good note. At the same time, I don't know, if I say the bad news, you guys might be freaking out, like, oh, what's gonna happen? And then it'll be like, oh, it's okay, good news. I don't want you guys to have a freak out moment, so maybe if I say the good news first and then go to the bad news, then you guys won't freak out so much. But whatever. You know what? I'm not your dad. You guys are adults now. I guess most of you. I don't know. I bet there's some people under 18 who listen to this. Do your parents know you're listening to this? I think I may have used a couple cuss words in this already. And talked about adult themes like religious parables that your parents might not want you to hear. Okay. So here's the bad news. Today is the last episode of Josh Figures It Out. For now. For now. It's the last episode of Josh Figures It Out. You could say this is kind of like the finale of season one of Josh Figures It Out. This is going to be my 28th week doing this without a break, which I'm pretty impressed with myself by. When I first started this thing, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep this up once a week. But so far, I've managed to. And I feel like I've given you a... Well, I don't know. I'm not going to start looking back yet. I'm going to do that in a sec. Suffice to say, there are a couple big projects that are rearing their head right now. There's a writing project that is going to be a little bit more intensive than I was expecting. There's a new job, which I've talked about before starting. I'm going to be, working teaching SAT to high school kids for the Princeton Review. And so, because I've never actually taught this particular class, this particular syllabus before, it is going to take a little extra prep time to actually make that work for the time being. And, you know, putting a show together like this, even an hour-long show, finding topics and finding guests and editing this whole thing, it's legitimate work. So that's why you're not going to be hearing any new Josh Figures It Out episodes after today. Again, for a while. I do think the show will come back soon. I don't know exactly how soon. And the main reason, even more than any of the writing or job stuff that I just mentioned, the main reason that this that Josh Figures It Out may not be coming back soon is the good news. So after today, there is going to be a hiatus of there's not going to be a podcast episode next week or the week after that. But starting before the end of July, I'm going to have a brand new podcast. It's not going to be called Josh Figures It Out. I'm not going to tell you what it's called yet or what it's about yet. If you were an eagle-eyed listener who's been listening to every episode of Josh Figures It Out, you probably actually already heard me drop it a couple episodes back. But if you weren't listening then, I'm not going to tell you now, because I do like to build up suspense and surprise and mystery and, ooh, what is he working on a little bit. So sue me. I like to be enigmatic. Suffice to say, where Josh Figures It Out has been very fun is like a free-form show where I could literally bring any sort of topic or guest or whatever I wanted to the table each week. I've been feeling the need lately to work on something a little bit more focused, something more specific and structured. And I've come up with an idea that I think is going to make a really interesting podcast. And that podcast isn't necessarily built to run forever either. I have a feeling it's probably going to go from end of July till the end of this year. But while it's running, I've got some really, really cool ideas for it, and maybe even some cool guests lined up. Maybe even a co-host. I don't know. Still working out the details. But what I'm trying to say here is, if you are already dreading the loss of having me talk in your ear for an hour to 2 hours a week, don't worry, I'm not abandoning podcasting. You can't get rid of me that easily. I'm just taking a hiatus to work on some other projects and switch up formats, and then between 2 weeks and a month from now, you're going to hear a new, retooled, completely different thing hosted by me that I think many of you guys are going to love and think is awesome. And if you want more details on that, just stick around, stay tuned to my Twitter feed. I haven't been tweeting as much lately, I know. Hopefully that doesn't bother you guys who are missing a little bit of daily wit and wisdom from me. You know, just, you know what's up with me right now, guys. This is a kind of a strange transitional period where I'm trying lots of different things and I've got a lot of different projects going. And the main project continues to be just, job applications and networking and hitting up any person or listing or idea I can think of for the next whatever the next full-time entertainment gig is. And everything else, whether it's podcasting or writing or improv or whatever, is ultimately a secondary goal to that for me right now. You know, one of the points of this whole Josh Figures It Out podcast project, it is right there in the name. It's figuring things out. And not just like it says in my theme song, figuring out exactly what my podcast is going to be about. Because I haven't figured that out yet. And even with this new podcast venture, I'm not going to say that's the home run killer app game winning idea that I want to pursue for the rest of my life. It's just another idea. But it's not just figuring out what my podcast is about. It's always been kind of about figuring out what my whole life is about right now as well. When I work on a project or when I'm on a team I'm dedicated to, I'm with it heart and soul. And the Jason Ellis Show is my team for years, for a long time. And I gave everything to that show. The point that show was like my whole identity. And there's good sides and bad sides to that. And I think the good side was that by dedicating myself so wholeheartedly to that show, I was able to really get in the groove and give some of my best work, and also have some just awesome times that are going to stick with me for the rest of my life. The downside of it is, if things do go bad, as things eventually did go bad, because, you know, most projects end and things end and people have to move on. So when I did get to that point, I think because I gave myself so fully, I think I took it even harder than many people losing their jobs would take it. And all of 2014 so far hasn't just been finding a new way to make money and pay my bills. It's also been figuring out kind of my identity and what path I should be taking. And in many ways, this podcast was meant to be a document of that, to take myself all the way from those early raw moments in the immediate aftermath of leaving Ellis, documented back in episode one, if you really want to listen to that. Some days I just think about deleting that episode straight up, but I don't know. I'm keeping it for the historical record because you're probably not going to hear a better document of where my head was in those couple of weeks than that episode. But then following me through from episode one, all these 6-7 months later to where I'm at now, and I think I'm in a way better place now. I don't know. At least for me, and maybe it's again me being in my bubble and being so self-obsessed that I think my story is the only story that matters. But that's the role it's held for me, and hopefully it's interesting for you guys who have become fans of me and are following me to just kind of been tracing, my thought process and where I'm at through those first couple of attempting to get jobs, through the end of my relationship with Carla, through me getting involved with UCB and me bringing some of my friends on this show that I think have resulted in some of the best episodes of this show and made me grateful to have found such a cool, talented, fun group of people to work with and hang out with. And the end of my relationship with Carla and the beginning of my relationship with Game of Thrones. Not really, but that's also been a joy, was recounting all those episodes, or recounting True Detective episodes. Having you guys get to know my dad a little bit more, that was a trip. Getting to indulge some of those experimental muscles, like whatever happened that April Fool's Day. Jeez, I don't even like thinking about that. I'm still worried. I've got like a brain bug stuck in there somewhere. It might come out again someday, who knows. Getting to go on other people's podcasts. I don't know if you, I posted a link on Twitter to me on Jay Frosting's Clockout podcast. I thought that was awesome. That was, if you really want to hear me stretching some improv muscles and doing some weird in character stuff, that's just a 20-minute podcast, and I definitely suggest you find that and listen to that. It's been a period of real ups and downs, but there have been real ups, and even the downs have been teaching moments and moments where I think I've discovered sources of inner strength and really reevaluated who I am and where I want to be going as I move from my late 20s to, I don't know, my 30s in like a year and a half. If there is a time to be figuring these things out, this is the time. And just like I've been doing for a long time now, I do it in a semi-public way. No secrets here. I've gone from recording in, Kevin's apartment to some undisclosed locations, and then eventually buying my own equipment, and now I've got my own little studio, which is awesome. I released the 5-second rule, remember that? It's still on my Bandcamp, you can still listen to it. Man, what a weird album. But I still love it. I still feel like that's probably the best thing I've ever done musically. Music is not my primary ambition, but it's definitely a huge part of who I am, and I'll probably end up trying more music stuff like that someday. But for now, it's a good snapshot of where I'm at musically at 27, 28, for sure. But anyways, that's all about looking backwards. The show is not over yet, because I haven't figured it out yet. I haven't figured out what my podcast is going to be. I haven't figured out what my life is yet. I'm in transition. I'm in thrilling, glorious transition where anything could happen next. I couldn't be living in the moment more right now, and I appreciate that. There's some. I feel very alive, and so that's why Josh Figures Out probably will come back. And I don't think it's going to come back for a while. I don't know. There might be some little bits and pieces. I got another letter from Jaegerbeard that I still haven't recounted to you guys yet on the podcast. I may tell what the story of one of those letters in a little bite-sized episode coming. You might get little like bonus episodes like that during the hiatus. But post-hiatus, it's going to be all about this new podcast idea for a while. And then when new podcast idea is over, maybe Josh Figures It Out comes back. Or maybe I start a third podcast idea. Or maybe I go podcastless for a while. That's also a possibility. I don't know what's going to happen, guys. I don't know. That's the awesome thing. But you do not have to worry about me going podcastless for now, because it's just not going to happen. What you might be missing out on is some of these more personalized recollections about my life and what's going on with me. But that doesn't mean that's going to disappear entirely either. I know that some of you fans out there have an unhealthy level of investment in what's going on in my life, and I want to keep that unhealthy level of investment. I want to maintain that for you, so I'm going to... If any really interesting details come up, you'll know about it, whether it's via my podcast or via Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or who knows. I posted an article on LinkedIn the other day, by the way. Every time I sign onto that site, it keeps telling me, hey, you should publish something. So I decided to actually try publishing something. I wrote a little article about podcasting and the future of the industry. It was something I was thinking about saving for this podcast, but I decided I'm going to try doing something in written form instead. Because I'm trying out different media, guys. I'm experimenting. So go to LinkedIn. Check out this article I wrote. This has officially been going for a while. Already. Spent way more time just getting through the announcements than I was expecting to. I don't know. Finales. Shit. I hate finales. I can't watch The Office finale. I can't watch the Futurama finale. I can't even watch, like, the Home Movies finale. And that wasn't a particularly tear-jerking episode. But, like, the last shot of the series of Home Movies where Brendan drops his camera and then he's just kind of sitting in the back of the car with his friends. It's just a shot, but man, that gets to me. I hate goodbyes and I hate the ending of things. And they tend to bring out kind of a very sentimental, very reflective side of me. So that's what you're hearing today. It's a little bit of sentimental, reflective Josh to take you out of season one of Josh Figures It Out for now and shift you into a brief hiatus, which is going to lead into something entirely new that's going to blow your podcast mind. Anyhow, I put out one last call for Twitter questions, and I didn't even get any really good ones, but let's do this anyways. Let one last round, for old time's sake, of Twitter questions from you guys, where you ask me things on Twitter and I answer them. Mike Whelan on Twitter says, ever wear a paper bag over your head and masturbate on a park bench? I've never done that. I have put a paper bag on my genitals and just rubbed my head. But that looks more normal because it's not like my dick is out. It's just in a paper bag. People think I just have lunch on my lap. I'm not that bold, Mike. As for rubbing my head, maybe that sounds weirder, but I don't know. Sometimes I just have a fascination with my own facial hair. Like, I'll just, like, rub. I don't have, you know, because I don't have, like, a big Nick Offerman mustache. I've got a pretty thin one. But it's fun to kind of just, like, rub your lips sometimes and feel the mustache hair move around with your finger. Or it's like that feeling when after you get a haircut and you've just, like, shaved the very back of your neck and then, like, 5 days later, you feel the back of your neck and you feel that little fuzzy feeling. I love that feeling. There's a period from like day four to day seven after getting a haircut where I'm just doing that nonstop. And then at Beagle and Pup asked me two questions. Well, two questions and a statement. The statement was, miss you on SiriusXM, which, aw, thank you, miss you too. Question number one, have you seen the movie Magic Magic with Juno Temple? I have not. I do know Juno Temple, though. I mean, that's like the synagogue that you go to celebrate the early films of Ellen Page. No, I know who Juno Temple is. She was in that movie Killer Joe with Matthew McConaughey. I remember her being really good in that. She was kind of playing like a slightly dim Southern chick, but everybody in that movie was a little bit dim. And she brought some real pathos to it. I was impressed. But no, I don't know. Hold on, I'll look it up. What is this magic magic you're talking about? Ooh, a Chilean-American psychological thriller. Oh wait, this has Michael Cera in it. Oh, I heard about this. I think what I heard about it is that this has no plot and is really pretentious. Which sounds like my kind of movie, so I might want to check it out. The film tells the story of Alicia, a young woman traveling in the south of Chile with her cousin Sarah, and Sarah's friends Brink, Barbara, and her boyfriend Augustine. Suffering from insomnia, Alicia begins to lose her grip on what is real and what is not. Ooh, okay. Psychedelic. I like that. It is based on an urban myth about a vacationing hotel girl in a hostel in Brazil. And that sounds like Hostel, and that's not something I'm as into. I'm not like a torture porn guy. But I do like movies with unreliable narrators and dream sequences and shifting ideas of what's actually happening and what's all in the protagonist's mind. You know, your Vanilla Skies, your Enter the Voids. I'm a big fan. So that might be my thing. Thank you for the recommendation. The second question I got is, do you know slash like the band The Expendables? They're from Santa Cruz. Smiley face. Be well. Smiley face. That's weird. You used the first time you just used a colon and a parenthesis, and the second time you actually used an emoji with the smiley with his eyes closed and is blushing. Oh, do I make you blush? I have that effect on people, you know. I don't know the band The Expendables. I know the movie The Expendables, and I imagine that if all those guys in the movie The Expendables were in a band, it would not sound very good. I'm trying to, do any of those guys know how to play an instrument or sing or anything? I mean, I can see Schwarzenegger stepping up to do some kind of entertaining, barking, front Teutonic frontman sort of thing. Is Mickey Rourke a musician? Now, it looks like all he's done is maybe is like cameo in a couple rock songs, which does not surprise me. Does Jason Statham have some sort of Russell Crowe's 30 Foot Out of Grunts-esque band? Wow, okay, I didn't actually watch the Expendables movie, but I'm looking... Jason Statham's character in the Expendables is Lee Christmas? Really? But yeah, you know what? I'm looking at this Dolph Lundgren, Stallone, Jet Li. I don't think any of these guys have any sort of musical talent. Maybe if you got Sly Stallone's brother in the mix, he could do something. But that's as close as we're getting. So, yes, I definitely want to see a band made up of all these guys. Because I love musical train wrecks. So, if that's what this band is, Silly Simon, I'm so on board. Otherwise, it just sounds like the name of some generic pop-punk thing that I'm... Yeah. Anyways, I think that's pretty much what I'm doing today. I think that's pretty much it for Josh Figures It Out, is what I'm saying. You know what? The last couple episodes have been the longest episodes this show has ever done, pushing the two-hour mark. I think if this one comes in a little under an hour, that's okay. Because like I said, I really didn't have a whole lot prepared. I did have a guest who was going to show, but it kind of fell through. And I realized this is just a good opportunity not to do any big bits or play any games, but just to rap with you guys and talk with you guys about what's on my mind. And look back on where JFIO started and where JFIO has ended up in the future of JFIO and the future of my podcasting stuff. So let me say one final note of goodbye in that case, just to say, all of you who are listening to Josh Figures It Out episode 28, who listened to me for years on Ellis, who've read my writing and my spec scripts and maybe even watched Diamond Bar on my website, who've been listening to Josh Figures It Out since the beginning and watched this thing grow and change and me get more comfortable hosting my own show and figuring out the possibilities of just what I want to do with this kind of medium. It was experimental from the beginning. I said in the first couple episodes, y'all are listening to me practice. And that's for sure what this started out as, was me figuring out how to set up my own studio, figuring out what my hosting style was, and what sort of guests I wanted to have, and what I wanted to say, and what I wanted to talk about. And 28 episodes in, even if I don't feel like I've gotten to 100% figuring it out level, I feel a whole lot closer than I was. And it's been a ton of fun. It's the main reason I've done it. It's been a great way to reach out to you guys and a great way to talk about what's on my mind and just a fun project and a fun thing to turn people onto and be like, hey, listen to this. Listen to this thing I made. Listen to this 30 plus hours of content I put together. Me and a bunch of my awesome friends and family and the help of some good TV shows too. It's been special, and your Twitter questions have been special, and you guys who've called in during the couple of call-in segments we've done. If you ever took the time to comment at Radio TFB and say, even just, man, you really made me crack up on that episode, keep up the good work, anything like that, that really went a long way with me. You don't know how much seeing those little messages will make my day. So if you want to send a similar message at Radio TFB to let me know what you thought of Josh Figures It Out and its first iteration, please do. Please tell me. Thank you guys so much for listening and for being there. You guys really mean the world to me. And please don't disappear during this brief hiatus. I know it's going to be tough. But remember, there's a lot of great podcasts out there. There's a whole bunch of great stuff to listen to. And I promise, I will be back real soon. You'll hear about it on Twitter and Facebook, and I'll be talking about it. Just hang tight, stay a little bit patient, and expect a whole new, really, really sweet, really exciting podcast that's going to be coming soon from My Strange Mind. And that's really all I have to plug to, is just follow me on Twitter at Radio TFB. That's where I'm going to continue to keep you guys both entertained with random little jokes and observations from time to time, and also updated on stuff that's going on with me and cool stuff that I'm involved in that you should check out. So with all that said, au revoir, sayonara, for now. Until next time, much love. Hugs and kisses, XOXO, smiley face, dick emoji in your face. Catch you guys on the flip side. Ciao.